Today we are going to look at a very familiar story, and it all goes along with the sermon series that that Pastor Don is in right now. And he told me about it and what I need to be focusing on the sequence of events that happened after Jesus' resurrection. And last week you heard Pastor Kendall, and they are doing the same thing in their church as well. But following the resurrection, Jesus made several appearances to his disciples. And the story we're going to be looking at this morning is one of those appearances that Jesus made to his disciples. As a matter of fact, it was the third appearance of Jesus to his disciples on the beachside. And by the way, when we were in Israel a few years ago, we visited, or we stopped by the exact spot where Jesus had the fish over the fire and roasting it, waiting for the disciples to come in. Our tour guide says, this is where it happened. And I know that in a couple of months, Pastor Don and his wife will have the privilege of going that way, and they're going to enjoy that immensely. But Jesus appeared to his disciples on many occasions. Mark's gospel says that when he gave the account of the resurrection of Jesus, that the message was sent to by the women to go tell his disciples, and who? Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Now that statement could have stopped, go tell his disciples, because Peter was one of his disciples, and that would have included him. But no, the angel wanted to make sure that there was something special or going to be special about this, that go tell the disciples and Peter. And why was that so? Peter was dumb, he was discouraged, he was heartbroken. And Jesus knew, or the message that he sent would be of help to Peter if he just mentioned that little statement there. He needed, or he would need, that special touch. And folks, you don't know what a telephone call would be, just like saying something, hey, I miss you in church today, everything okay? You know, or sending someone a postcard saying, I'm thinking about you. And so that would have a special touch for that individual. But anyway, this whole story centered now around Peter, as Jesus had a one-on-one with him on the beachside. And what happened here is that Peter and his friends, if you read, we would read the scripture in just a little bit. They went fishing and they came back empty-handed. Now that's never a good feeling. All you people who like to fish, you spend money to go deep sea fishing or whatever, and you came back empty-handed. And by the way, this was probably the first time that they came back empty-handed. No fish whatsoever. But the strange thing about this is, strange things happen, is that they had no fish, but when they came to shore, Jesus had fish on a fire. How do you figure that one out? All is because he is Jesus and he could do whatever he wants to do. He had fish. And Jesus had the power to do that. And so, early that morning, they came on the shore, and shore, like we were talking about, they saw fire, and they saw this person there, and Jesus was there roasting fish, and he's saying, come guys, I have breakfast ready for you. Now, I don't know about roasted fish for breakfast, guys. Okay, if you like roasted fish for breakfast, that's up to you, or broad fish. But Jesus had roasted fish for them that day. Now, I've mentioned many times to our congregation that everything that we experience today originates in Scripture. Okay? Everything. You think of whatever you go through in life, and I could lead you to a Scripture that shows that it originated in God's Word. So, even before there was a chef or a master chef, Jesus was the master chef. He had it ready for them. And they probably said to themselves, hey, I didn't know Jesus was a cook. He never cooked while we were with him. Food was always there. But Jesus was the master chef. I remember an experience we had in St. Croix when we were there. There was a family, brothers and sisters, and they had this huge sale. And we went, and this was like a farewell thing for us because we were leaving St. Croix and coming and moving on towards the United States. And so we went by the beachside, and six guys were in the sea pulling the seine and bringing in the fish. And the ladies were out on the beachside, and as the fishes were coming in the seine, they would clean it up, put it on the grill, and everybody would have something to eat. It was a great experience. So let's turn and look at this story that Jesus is about to happen in John chapter 21 and verses 15 to 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Okay, gals and guys, if you have something, if you're going to call someone on the carpet, at least give them something to eat first. They may have indigestion when you're done, but at least give them something to eat first before you start, zero in on that individual. Do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. This morning we pray that your Holy Spirit will just open our hearts, our minds, enlighten us, O God, to what you want us to hear today. And we shall give you all the praise and all the thanks, because we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus said, do you love me more than these? We ask ourselves, what did he mean by all of that? What is he saying? Do you love me more than these? And we are going to look at the scripture and look at some things that I believe that God wants us to know this morning. So what does Jesus mean by these? I believe that first of all, when Jesus says, do you love me more than these? He's saying, Peter, do you love me more than your profession? Okay, what was his profession? He was a fisherman. Peter loved being on the water. Being on the water is like being on land for us. You know, people say they will never go on a cruise because they don't like being on the water. It says, if I am on dry land, I'm okay. I'm not going on any cruise. My brother-in-law felt that way. Now I can't keep him. We can't keep him from the ship. Every time we turn around, he's on a cruise. But Peter loved the water. He loved fishing. He loved catching fish. And he loves watching the people. As they're coming in with their boat, watching the people on the seashore, gathering with their bowls and their containers just to get some fish to take home to cook. He loved that so much. And he loved his profession. And so he was a fisherman. He loved doing that. What is our profession today? There are people who are secretaries, clerks, managers, drivers, nurses, doctors, mason, carpenters, you name it, whatever you do, that is your profession. Are you one of those people who look forward to going to work? Peter, being a fisherman, that was like a no-brainer for him. He loves going to work. What was he work? He was going fishing. And I know that there, on the other hand, some people, they dread going to work. They don't like their boss. Their boss don't like them. Other people they don't get along with, there's always friction. But Peter just loved being there. And but when we look at it, is that, do you love God more than you love your profession? Do you love God more than you love going to work? And I believe that that is one of the things that Jesus was talking to Peter about, is that, do you love me more than these? And I believe that, secondly, that when Jesus said that, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me more than this moment? This moment that you are in right now. When Jesus said, throw your net on the other side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the number of fish. When we were in Israel, we had the opportunity to get in a boat and move into the Sea of Galilee. And the captain turned off the engine. And I guess as a standard joke of his, he said that we ran out of gas. But he didn't run out of gas. He just wanted everyone who was in the boat to just sit there and look over the shoreline and to see where Jesus' ministry was, where he did all of those things. And his mate literally picked up his cast net and he threw it into like, in a circle to see if he would bring up any fish. Of course, he came back empty. It was not far enough inside. So when he pulled the net in, it's like everyone in unison said, cast it on the other side. Of course, there was nothing there either. But this was his greatest catch in his life. Peter had been a fisherman all his life until he met Jesus Christ. And even when Jesus was arrested, all his disciples forsook him, including Peter. And because he loved fishing so much, where did he go after they all left Jesus? He went fishing. That tells me that Peter was also very influential. And when we feel that our life does not affect other people, it does. It can either affect them for the good or for the bad. Peter all of a sudden says, I'm going fishing. All the rest of the guys says, we're coming with you. Okay? And so if we are saying, let's say we say, hey guys, I'm going to church tomorrow. You guys want to join me? You know, our lives affect other people. But this was his greatest catch that he had ever had. And the scripture says that if we continue to read all the version of it, is that there were 153 big ones in the net. 153 fish in that net. And so for those who are fishermen or like to go fishing, now you will be smiling all the way from the seashore home if you had all that fish in your boat or in your vehicle. Now, the scripture says, and for all of that, the net did not break. Now, I did a simple math over all of this. And if we had 153 fish, at the minimum of maybe, let's say 3 pounds each, you are looking at 200 or between 2 to 3 pounds each, you're looking at almost 350 pounds of fish in that net. That net could have or should have been broken. No question about it. Who kept it intact? I mean, if you go to the store and there's a 50-pound line, a 60-pound line, or whatever, but here was about almost 350 pounds of fish or more, and the net did not break. Who kept it together? It was Jesus Christ. And sometimes when we are at our breaking point in life, when everything seems to go against us, nothing is going right, and we want to give it in, and we feel like we are going to collapse, and he just whispered his, in a small voice, and says, just hang in there. I have this. I got your back. This is not going to break. Okay? You know, this is going to be a good thing. So this was not only his greatest catch, but it was his greatest moment. It was his greatest moment. And so, you know, for those who like going fishing and you feel that tug on the line and you know that this is a tug that you have never felt before. Okay, this is a big one. And you're reeling that thing in and you're saying, come to Papa. Okay? And you're excited, you know. But it was his greatest moment. Can you imagine the emotion and the excitement that they had at that time when they were bringing in all of this fish? What is, or what has been your greatest moment? Your favorite basketball winning the NBA? Your favorite baseball team winning the World Series? You get a promotion in your job? A new baby is added to your family? What has been your greatest moment? My greatest moment was when so many years ago I left where I was sitting in a galvanized church and I made my way to the altar and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. That was my greatest moment. My greatest moment now, my greatest joy now, is to see people and help them to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your personal Savior. What is your greatest moment? And I hope that your greatest moment is having a relationship with Jesus Christ and continuing to follow Him all the days of your life. And also, I believe when Jesus Christ says, lovest thou me more than these, He meant that saying to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than your possession? Do you love me more than your possession? What did he own? Peter turned around when Jesus asked him that question. He turned around and he looked at his boat. He looked at the paddles, the baskets, all the containers, fishing line, nets, and everything else. He looked at all of those things, his possession, and he said, yes, Lord, I love you more than all of those things. God has blessed us with possession. We have a beautiful home. Some people have two homes. God has blessed us with a car. Some people have more than one car or maybe two cars. He has blessed us with all the beautiful things we have in our home. The furniture, the jewelry, everything that we cherish. God has given all of that to us. And what Jesus Christ is saying to us, do you love me more than you love your possessions. Folks, there is nothing wrong in having possessions. People like nice things. I like nice things myself. But what God is saying to us, do you love me more than you love all these things? And my prayer and trust is that we would never put anything ahead of Jesus Christ. We would not put anything that will go between our love for God and because of all that He has done for us. And also, when Jesus says, do you love me more than you love these? I believe that Jesus meant, Peter, do you love me more than your friends love me? They were seven other guys, when they were all together, there were seven of them. When Jesus says, do you love me more than these? He was talking about the other six of them who were there. Peter's friends love Jesus. They really do. They love Jesus. But Jesus was not testing love by comparison. Jesus Christ knew that they loved him. But what Jesus Christ was saying is that Jesus wanted to hear those words coming out of Peter's mouth. Yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus wanted to hear those words from him. Do you love me? You know, Jesus knows the innermost thoughts of our lives. He knows everything about us. He knows those thoughts even before we say them. He knows it. And if we whisper something, Jesus will hear it. But you know who does not hear a whisper? The devil. Satan does not hear a whisper. So therefore, we need to speak the words so that he can hear and to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. And he needs to hear that. Never whisper to the evil one. Say it so that he could hear it. Only Jesus Christ knows the innermost thoughts of our lives. And Jesus wanted Peter to say those words. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. At that moment, Peter was restored back to fellowship with God. He was committed. And from there on, Jesus said, from now on, you are going to be a fisher of men. You are going to catch men. When we look at Peter's life after that, the letters he wrote, the life he lived, the sacrifices he made for Jesus Christ. And what I would like to leave you with this morning is that, how much do you love God? Do you love Him so much that you would make any and all kinds of sacrifice for Him just because of what He has done for you? And so as we close this morning and we look into our own lives and we are asking, really and truly, how much do I love God? He loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus was willing, He was obedient to the Father, and He went to the cross. He gave His life so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. How much do you love Him today? As we bow our heads in just a few moments, and Pastor Don is going to come and close us in prayer. But as we examine our lives this morning, and we're looking at our love towards God, I don't know exactly what part of this teaching or message may have touched your heart this morning, but I want you, if you can, this moment, take that time to tell God how you feel, even to tell Him that you love Him, and that you love Him very much. And always remember that regardless of what you are going through in life, that Jesus has not forgotten you. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows your needs. And Just like he said, go tell my disciples and Peter, he's saying, go tell Mary or John or Sue or Joseph or David